Welcome to the Pitcot Podcast. You know, there's one topic that really defines the success or the failure of any long-term relationship. It's not about money. It's not even about shared hobbies. It is raw daily communication.
That's it.
And today we are deep diving into this core element, and we're pulling essential high-impact insights directly from Pitcot's best-selling guides.
Right.
This deep dive is specifically tailored for men looking to master those high-stakes conversations with their partners.
That's absolutely right. Our mission here is to give you a kind of mental checklist, a shortcut, really, to massive positive change.
Okay.
We're focusing on identifying and, well, eliminating seven seemingly innocent comments that can unintentionally set off this massive emotional chain reaction.
Things that cause tension, insecurity,
or accumulated resentment. And look, this isn't about changing who you are. It's about refining your awareness and applying, you know, deliberate effort to your daily vocabulary.
The fundamental truth Pitcot really hammers home is simple, but also profound. It's that communication is this silent, ongoing element that either builds a powerful, supportive relationship,
or it just steadily erodes it.
Right. And the principles are easy to understand, but applying them consistently, especially under pressure, that's where most of us really need the map.
And that map is what we're providing today. The nuance is so critical here. We're not talking about outright arguments.
No.
We're talking about those small, careless verbal missteps that just chip away at trust and intimacy over time. And before we jump into the first major mistake, if these insights are already resonating with you, please know this is just a fraction of the comprehensive actionable knowledge available.
Just the tip of the iceberg.
For sure. You can download the full best-selling ebooks right now. Just visit www.bitcot.com/books to unlock these essential relationship guides today.
Okay, let's unpack this. We're starting with what the research defines as the communication minefield. The core thesis being that a truly positive relationship vibe, it requires being intensely mindful of intent versus impact.
What's fascinating here is the, well, the psychological mechanism at play. A comment that feels perfectly harmless, maybe even a joke to the speaker, to you,
right,
can instantly trigger these deep-seated issues,
yep,
things like insecurity, jealousy, or feelings of inadequacy in your partner.
So it's not about being malicious.
Not at all. It's
yeah,
about a fundamental lack of awareness of her internal emotional landscape and, you know, the societal pressure she's already facing every single day.
So if we accept that dynamic, that impact trumps intent, then the discussion shifts immediately. It moves away from defending our words.
Right, to acknowledging the feelings they evoke.
Exactly. Yes. And that recognition leads us directly into the biggest culprits cited in the Pitcot guides, what they call the four relationship killers. These deal primarily with a partner's sense of self-worth and the future security of the relationship.
Precisely. Let's start big with mistake number one, the comparison trap. This is the phrase to absolutely avoid. It includes commenting on the attractiveness of a sister, a cousin, or, you know, the most classic example, saying something like, your best friend is hot.
I understand the instinct to speak what you see, but, I mean, surely commenting on attractiveness is just a basic acknowledgement of reality. If someone is attractive, why is it such a relationship killer to simply say so?
Well, the Pitcot framework explains the context is everything.
Okay.
When you are in an intimate relationship, your partner needs to feel singularly prioritized. So by commenting on the attractiveness of women within her close circle, especially her best friend or family, you light a psychological match.
Oh, wow.
The devastating consequence isn't just surface-level jealousy.
Yeah.
It forces her to instantly question your loyalty and, even worse, feel incredibly insecure around her own social safety net.
You've made her competition with people she trusts.
You got it.
That makes perfect sense. You've basically poisoned her home base.
Yeah.
So the author suggests the alternative is to funnel all that positive attention directly to her. Give us the exact application.
Yeah, you just focus the energy back.
Yeah.
Instead of mentioning the friend's appearance, tell her what you find uniquely attractive about her.
Like what?
The phrase, you look amazing today, or something like, I love the way you laugh with your friends. It's simple, it's specific, and it validates her entirely.
It reinforces that your primary focus is always on her.
100%.
Okay, moving to mistake number two, the appearance pressure. This is the critique that comes, you know, dressed as concern. Maybe you should go on a diet. Or have you considered hitting the gym more?
Yeah, this one is just toxic because it hits the absolute epicenter of female insecurity. Society relentlessly pressures women about their appearance, right?
Right?
Tying self-worth directly to body size.
Right.
So when this criticism comes from her trusted partner, it's interpreted as, I am not good enough for you, and my value is conditional on me conforming to a certain image.
Ouch, that's a deep hit. A complete erosion of safety. So, if we genuinely believe adopting healthier habits would be beneficial, how does the Pitcott research suggest we approach that without causing a crisis?
The key is shifting from conditional criticism to unconditional support through inclusion.
Inclusion.
The Pitcott alternative is to encourage healthy habits together. Say, let's start cooking two new nutritious meals a week together.
Yeah.
Or maybe, I really want to start taking a walk after dinner. Join me.
Okay.
This makes the approach positive, collaborative, and it emphasizes that you are a team moving towards wellness rather than you being her judge.
That reframes the entire goal. Okay, now for mistake number three, commitment avoidance. This is a very sensitive area, often phrased as, I don't ever want to get married.
Or, I don't believe in marriage.
Yeah.
And this statement, even if it reflects a genuine personal stance, it creates immense instability.
How so?
In the Pitcott analysis, this triggers anxiety and doubt about the relationship's future because it just signals a closed door. For many partners, commitment isn't just about a ring. It's about signaling a shared future path.
The ability to plan.
To plan, to align goals, and to feel secure in the long term.
But wait, if I genuinely feel that way, isn't it dishonest to offer false hope or to defer the issue? How does the guide balance that brutal honesty with the need for sensitivity?
That's a great question, and the guide is really clear. Honesty is mandatory, but delivery matters.
Okay.
You shouldn't lie, but you shouldn't use definitive language that shuts down the future. Instead of declaring a permanent refusal, the suggested approach is to discuss openly why you feel this way and, crucially, show unwavering commitment in other highly valued ways.
What are those valued ways?
Things like consistency, support, and profound respect. The actions that communicate, I am building a life with you, even if that life doesn't include a formal ceremony right now.
So your actions speak louder than that one specific word?
Exactly. Being there when she needs you, respecting her opinions, planning vacations 6 months in advance, these things speak volumes and they alleviate the immediate anxiety triggered by the fear of being left behind.
Excellent. Okay, finally, mistake number four, the true relationship killer, the X factor. The phrase to avoid here is that comparison. My ex used to do it differently.
Or, my ex was better at planning dates.
Yeah, that's just brutal.
It's a devastating mistake because it plants the seed of inadequacy and comparison instantaneously. You are forcing your current partner into a competition with a ghost.
A ghost?
A version of a person who is often idealized or, you know, only remembered for their best qualities. No one wants to feel like they are constantly auditioning for their own role.
That feeling of being a replacement, not a priority, that's exactly what destroys intimacy. So how do we handle situations where an ex must be mentioned, maybe when discussing past trauma or logistics?
The Pitcott approach insists you focus entirely on the present.
Yeah.
Celebrate her unique strengths and qualities. If the past must be discussed, you frame the discussion to highlight why your current connection is superior or what you appreciate about her now that makes the relationship so valuable.
Make her feel like the celebrated individual she is.
Not a comparative alternative to someone
right.
else.
Exactly. That wraps up the major insecurity triggers. After ensuring we aren't planting seeds of inadequacy from the past, the Pitcott guides stress that we also have to actively ensure we are prioritizing her present self.
Yes.
Which brings us to section three. Avoiding exclusion and moments of discomfort.
Right. And mistake number five is creating distance. This is often phrased as, maybe I should go without you. Or making plans that intentionally exclude her without a clear, supportive reason.
But what if I know the event is something truly boring, like a corporate golf outing that she has explicitly said she hates? Is it really necessary to invite her just to be inclusive?
Yes. According to the research, it absolutely is.
Really?
Even if she declines, the exclusion makes her feel unwanted or, worse, suspicious about why you were so eager to leave her out. That creates distance regardless of your good intention. The feeling is, he doesn't want me there, not he's sparing me boredom.
I see. So the Pitcott prescription for inclusion is pretty straightforward then. It's honesty and invitation.
Exactly. Explain the event transparently. Invite her. And if she declines, the critical follow-up is demonstrating her value.
How do you do that?
Immediately plan something fun for the two of you to do together afterward, maybe that same weekend. This shows she's a priority, even when you have separate interests.
Got it. Okay, next is mistake number six, the humor minefield. This is pointing out an embarrassing moment or flaw. The guide uses the example, that fart you made was killer.
You know, joking about a poor attempt at a recipe.
Right.
This is where timing and audience reading skills are just paramount.
Mm-hmm.
Humor can be bonding, but only if you are both sharing the laugh.
Mm-hmm.
If she is clearly embarrassed, you have crossed the line from being playful to being punishing. You've inflicted shame and profound discomfort.
I think a lot of people misjudge that line. They think they are bonding through shared awkwardness, when really they're just isolating her and her own discomfort. What's the boundary?
The boundary is her reaction. If she's clearly embarrassed or trying to change the topic, you have to respect her mood and change the subject immediately.
Be the person who minimizes her discomfort,
not the person who amplifies it. This shows fundamental respect within intimacy.
And finally, mistake number 7, dismissing connection, the phrase, why do you always want to talk?
This is a relationship slow burner. As the research emphasizes, communication is the primary adhesive. It's the glue in a partnership.
Right.
When you dismiss her desire to talk, even if you are stressed or tired, you are making her emotional needs feel invalid and unimportant. This is a direct route to accumulated resentment. She feels unheard.
But I think we all have moments when we feel overwhelmed and just need quiet. So how does the Pitcot approach allow for setting boundaries without causing that damage?
You need to defer, not reject. You set boundaries gently by respecting her feeling while managing the timing.
So what does that sound like?
The suggested phrasing is something like, I hear you and I want to talk about that, but I need 5 minutes to finish this task or decompress. Can we chat in 30 minutes? That commitment to reconnect is key.
So you're not dismissing her, you're just postponing.
You're honoring her need for validation while also respecting your personal need for space. It's a dynamic negotiation, not a dismissal.
We've covered 7 critical mistakes, but as the guide repeatedly states, good communication goes beyond just avoiding blunders. Now we move to the kicker, actively building connection.
Yes.
What are the key positive actions the Pitcot guides recommend we incorporate immediately?
We shift from defense to offense. These 5 core actions, drawn directly from Pitcot's positive communication guides, are the daily habits that fundamentally strengthen the bond. They elevate the entire relationship dynamic.
Number 1, listen actively. This sounds easy, but it's probably the hardest.
It is, because most of us just listen to formulate our reply. Active listening means stopping that internal monologue. Put down the phone, look her in the eye, and truly absorb what she's saying.
And the nonverbal cues.
Including the nonverbal cues. You connect this to the bigger picture. This is how you demonstrate that she holds significant space in your world.
Number 2, validate her feelings. Acknowledge her emotions, even if you don't agree with her reasoning or if you think the problem is simple to solve.
This is so essential. Often she doesn't want a solution. She just wants acknowledgement. Phrasing like, that sounds incredibly frustrating, or I can see why you feel hurt by that, does more heavy lifting than jumping in and trying to fix the situation immediately.
Validate the emotion before you troubleshoot.
Exactly.
Number 3, be consistent. This is about reliability, not grand gestures.
Yes. Small gestures and kind words, repeated reliably over time, that's what builds foundational trust. A single grand gesture is forgotten. Consistency is the steady heartbeat of commitment.
You have to show up the same way on Tuesday as you do on Saturday.
That's it.
Number 4, apologize sincerely. We all mess up.
Mistakes are inevitable, but genuine, heartfelt apologies are incredibly powerful. A sincere apology acknowledges the impact of your actions, not just the intent. It shows the maturity required to navigate a partnership.
It repairs the bond instantly.
It does.
And 5, celebrate together. Recognize her wins, big or small.
Whether it's landing a major promotion or just having the energy to get through a tough week, celebrating her journey shows you're invested in her happiness and success.
You become her biggest champion.
Reinforcing that team mentality.
Yes. By moving from avoiding those 7 sins to embracing these 5 positive habits, you fundamentally shift the dynamic. That intentionality is key.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of being intentional about growth, remember that Pitcot offers many tools for personal development and a relationship strength beyond these guides. We encourage you to visit www.pitcot.com to explore the full range of resources available to help you build a stronger life and a stronger relationship.
If we connect this focus on respect, validation, and inclusion to the bigger picture, the payoff is just immense.
Yeah.
You'll have fewer conflicts, your bond deepens, and your intimacy naturally strengthens. That is the true goal of mastering relationship communication.
While the principles we discussed sound simple, applying them consistently in the heat of a moment is incredibly difficult. That's why the Pidcock guides emphasize deliberate daily practice.
It's not rocket science.
No, it requires awareness, sensitivity, and most importantly, effort. Words can hurt or heal. You have to choose wisely.
So if we take one thought with us from this deep dive, let it be this. You have the power, through the simplest choice of words you use every day, to determine whether your relationship dynamic is characterized by conflict, doubt, and insecurity.
Or by deep connection and mutual respect.
The power to heal or harm your relationship lies in your mouth. The choice is yours to make every single day.
If you love our show, please press the like button. It truly helps the recommendation algorithm so others can access it too. And if you haven't already, subscribe to our channel and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads.
Thank you for being there with us. You can find more of our resources at www.pidcock.com.
Thank you for listening to the Pidcock Podcast. I will leave a link in the description below.